I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Annie Fry Show.
You know, there's a lot of disagreements during this COVID era. Is the pandemic over and it's run its course, or are we in the bottom of the sixth? When it comes to Anthony Fauci's assessment of this, should people who have been vaccinated still have to wear masks? Should they not? Should schools be open? Should schools not be open? Should there still be limits on how many people can be in a restaurant or not? Okay, so there's a lot of debates and arguments over that. But can we all agree on one thing? Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, vaxxer, anti-vaxxer. Can we all agree you should still take a shower?
Yes.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Yes.
By the way, I'm Mike Ferguson in for Annie Fry today. It's 12:09. New York Times. I saw this article in New York Times. The pandemic has changed their shower habits. How about yours? That's the New York Times.
Yeah.
And they interviewed a bunch of environmentalists and like social, sociology professors. Mm-hmm. And they were all saying, well, this is a serious question. You know, it's environmentally friendly. And, you know, if you take too many showers, it can dry out your skin. And, you know, we didn't even really start taking daily showers until the late 1800s. And they're going through all of this like environmental nonsense, and they're treating this like a legitimate news story. And part of it is I'm amazed at how many people got a call from a reporter and would disclose as much personal hygiene information for a news article in the New York Times as they have.
Weird.
Now, yeah, oh yeah, to be weird, like for instance, here's part of the story. Parents have complained that their teenage children are foregoing daily showers. Newsflash, teenage children forget showers a lot before or after a pandemic. And after the British media reported on a YouGov survey that showed 17% of Britons had abandoned daily showers during the pandemic, many people on Twitter said they had done the same, because Twitter's where you go for good advice.
Sure.
Right. Let's see here. What was one here? There was one that I wrote. Oh, here it is. They quoted, let's see here. What's her name? Harper. Her name was Harper. She said, Ms. Harper, who still uses deodorant and does a daily wash of, quote, the parts that need to be done at the sink. She said she was confident she was not offending anyone. Her 22-year-old daughter, who is very devout about bathing and showers twice a day, has not made any comments.
Twice a day?
Yeah. The daughter does twice a day. The daughter has not commented on her new hygiene habit, nor have the children at her school where she teaches. Okay, first of all, why are you telling a complete stranger reporter that?
Listen, this is my daily routine. You called, and now I'm going to give you the answer.
Right, exactly. There is an environmentalist and writer in London. His name is, I'm sure that this person is Scottish or Irish. The name is Donna Cocked McCarthy. That sounds very Irish or Scottish to me. Again, described as an environmentalist and writer in London, said he grew up taking weekly baths.
Oh.
So to him, this is just getting back to nature. He's quoted as saying, we had a bath once a week and we washed under the sink for the rest of the week under our armpits and our privates. And that was it. And this is considered an expert source for the story.
I have to say, Go ahead, Ryan.
I'm with the New York Times. Can I get your Social Security number and bank routing number?
Yes.
I don't need your bank account number. This is full name. This is public info, but
right,
first, middle, last.
I mean, it's even though, and I've been doing a lot of work from home myself. Mm-hmm. You know, the times when, for instance, I'll tell you the last few times I filled in on KMOX, our sister station, I did it from my home studio. You know, I always like to come in the studio, like being in the studio here. You know, I do some of my daily shows in mid-Missouri from my home studio. Some of my I do from the Columbia or Jefferson City studios. So I get that, you know, a lot of people are working from home a lot more. But to me, I don't want the funk in the house. So I'm like, to me, it's almost more important to shower.
I have a couple of different ways of thinking about this. One, okay. Ladies are not supposed to wash their hair every day. You
sure.
wash the rest of yourself
sure.
in the shower.
Sure.
But you are only supposed to, ladies are only supposed to wash their hair, especially if it's longer, twice, three times a week if it's really getting oily. But the rest of your body, you wash. So if they were to make a study saying, like, do you wash your hair once or twice a week? I could get that, and I could get behind that, especially for ladies. But the people that I know that have been working from home, I mean, it is crazy the turn of events that have taken place. And I don't blame anyone. If you are working from home, Ryan, I hope you're not stinky today.
If you wouldn't know.
I wouldn't
That's
know,
right. We're,
and I won't tell.
But I'm judging you from afar, from the StreamYard. There are so many people that I know, men and women, that are like, my routine, from my clothing to my appearance to the makeup to the brushing of the hair to the showers, everything has changed since I've been working from home every single day.
I shave less.
Got the beard going.
I get that.
Well, I mean, I've worn a beard for a long time, mm-hmm. but I don't keep it, you know, as neat and tidy as I used to. I mean, instead of, you know, shaving around every other day, you know, to leave the beard looking distinct, you know, I'll do it.
Shape it.
Yeah, shape mm-hmm. it. I'll basically wait until I look in the mirror and go, oh, yeah, shoot. Okay, I need to you know, not look like a Grizzly Adams here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the only thing I'll say that changed, but not the showers. I mean, I'm curious. 314-241-9797. Do you know anybody who has changed their bathing habits because of COVID-19? We've changed a lot of habits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
I get shaving, and I get women shaving. I get, you know, women not doing makeup, everybody dressing
sure.
down a little bit more in more comfortable clothes. I get all of those things. They all make sense. Showering, though, I believe what this article is saying. I believe that there are probably, 17-20% maybe of Americans that, if you're at home, are showering less. But I personally don't know how you would do that. My day doesn't feel like it started
yeah.
until I've taken a shower. A lot of people shower at night, though. So if you're one of those people, maybe it doesn't feel as bad to not do it. But
that's it. My husband says the same thing. He's like, I immediately open up my eyes and I get in the shower. Like, that is mm-hmm. how I start the day off, no matter what. But I am a night shower person.
I'm good with either one as long as you are a showering person.
Yes, yes, as long as you bathe.
I mean, I'm curious to hear from somebody who says, no, I don't shower as much every day. Pfft, are you kidding me? I want to know your perspective on the work, because this article basically tried to turn it into a pseudo-environmentalism thing, because they're saying, you know, a typical shower takes this many gallons of water, and, you know, soap does this. You know what soap does? Soap and that many gallons of water, it keeps you from stinking.
Yeah.
And to me, there's a trade-off here. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Of course, though, it has to be about the environment. Like, of course, it can't just be some people are totally fine with being a little bit stinky and some people aren't. Like, it has to be about the environment, go green, probably climate change is thrown in there somewhere.
Let me play devil's advocate here for a second.
No.
So I'm not exactly an environmental, like, you know, with trash and recycling, I'm roll my eyes at a lot of that stuff, because statistically speaking, with trash, you know, we've got so much more room in America to take care of people's trash in landfills and the methane and everything. Like, we're fine on that stuff. So, like, avoiding trash, that's not my issue. Water, I do think, kind of is important. And if this is a natural byproduct of the pandemic, people staying home, that's fine. I'm not going to tell people not to shower to save the environment. But the way that we get clean water in the United States is usually from tapping groundwater. And that's also the purification process. And we're using a little bit more water than we can, than the reservoirs go down faster because we're using more than it's naturally filling up, just generally speaking. This has been going on for probably a decade. So if that's a natural byproduct, I'm actually kind of okay with it. So take that, Katie.
You know what? Penny says, I work every day, I shower every night, nothing has changed for me. So boom, roasted on you, Ryan.
I love how this article ends, though. They decide to get the other perspective. And so they interviewed Nina Arthur, who owns Nina's Hair Care in Flint, Michigan. You know, so you've got all the environmentalists in London and the professor in New York. And then Nina, who owns a hair shop in Flint, Michigan. And her quote, nope, I'm not that woman when it comes to not showering. All right, let's see here. Let's go with Phil here. Hey, Phil, you're up first on this one. Are you taking fewer showers or bathing less, or anybody in your house doing that because you're stuck at home from the COVID-19 shutdowns?
Absolutely not. Oh, come on, man. I'm going to use Joe Biden's line. Come on, man. You just stink up the house. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
I'm not going to live with somebody that's going to stink up my house. But here's another thing. If you're supposed to wash your hands frequently all the time, why would you not have to wash your body frequently?
I think that's hopefully you're not touching everything with other parts of your body that you touch your hands with. We touch with your hands all the time.
Well,
but
how do you avoid that? I'm a male. How do you avoid not touching other parts of your body throughout the day? I mean, I get if you're not leaving the house, I kind of get it, but come on.
Yeah.
No. I don't want them stinking. Ain't nobody stinking up my house. Sorry, Stinky. Get out.
I'm with you on that, Phil. Appreciate that. We're at least agreed on the shower thing there. Mm-hmm. I don't want to know about the rest of it.
If you eat with your feet, then you should probably wash your feet,
too. That's true. Yeah. Yeah, precisely. I just could not believe that. I guess, I was kind of surprised when I saw the headline. And then I got to thinking about it. I'm like, I wonder if there are people who are like closet non-showers now. They want to stay in their sweatpants for 3 or 4 days at a time. And I just can't think of anybody that I know that would actually do that. And I'm a baseball player. Not even the baseball players would do that, I don't think. You know, when we're not known to be the classiest group of people around, we're ball players. But, I'm like, I know there are people out there doing it, but they're estimating 15 to 20% of people are showering less. And then to have an article to try to make it into an environmentally conscious thing. No, it's not virtuous. Take a bath.
Bizarre.
You smell. All right, just ahead here. Did you hear about this? One of the jurors in the Derek Chauvin case. Turns out that he was an activist who wore a T-shirt that could put the trial in jeopardy. We're going to talk to Larry Klayman from Freedom Watch just ahead. Interesting case. Could a hat and a T-shirt actually result in an appeal of these convictions? That is not as unreasonable as it sounds. We'll get to that just ahead. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Annie Fry.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Still ahead here. We'll talk about this in about 15 or 20 minutes. Looks like the movie Footloose is kind of being lived out in Washington, D.C. Talk about more COVID-19 stupidity. Oh, my goodness. The mayor has literally written an edict to disallow dancing. Dancing.
Dumb.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
But only if it's hot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just normal dancing is fine, but if you start to jiggle, like, down below your waist, it's going to become a problem for the mayor.
So is it about COVID, or is it about possibly entertaining impure thoughts?
It's the latter, Mike, we know that.
I grew up Baptist. That's what I was told. That's to why this day I cannot dance, because I grew up being told that dancing was sinful. So when I finally figured out that it's not.
Wait, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
What?
Oh, I grew up a Baptist preacher's kid.
And they were like, no dancing.
No dancing. No. When the movie Footloose came out, I was in high school. And everybody, like, came to me and they're like, have you seen the movie Footloose? I'm like, no, I can't go to movies. Because that was sinful, too.
What?
No dancing, period? Or no dancing with other people?
No dancing. No dancing. And they're like, that's you. That's you. And so finally I watched the movie Footloose when it came out on VHS. You know, way back when, I'm like, oh wow, that is like, now I don't believe that now, and I think a lot of the old school, you know, Baptists have kind of abandoned that. But no, I actually grew up with that, so you know, that's why I get to make that joke, because that's literally what I grew up being taught in, like, youth group in Sunday school.
Wow.
And my
that's
dad was
not that old.
And
I was in a college group that was it wasn't a Baptist group, but I think they had to have like a sponsor, and a Baptist church was the sponsor of the college group. And so we had to like really do a lot to make dances happen, because we had to go around our own sponsor to make these events work.
Now, I'm pretty sure that a whole lot of Baptists have kind of abandoned that over the last 40 years, but that's actually where my background was growing up on that. And no,
that's
I don't think that at all anymore. So anyway, it's a 12:28. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Annie Fry today. So just ahead, basically what's happening is the mayor of Washington, D.C. is like banning dancing, including at like weddings and things like that. So that's not permitted as well. Still ahead, right after the news at the top of the hour, our good friend Tyrus is going to be here. We've got celebrities running for office again, and not just California, now possibly in Texas. Is this something that we need to embrace? I mean, you know, Donald Trump was a celebrity before he was, you know, TV star and all that kind of stuff, reality star before he was president. Ronald Reagan was a celebrity before he ran for governor, but he didn't run for president until he'd been the governor. So, you know, is this something that we need to say, you know what, whatever it takes to get elected? Or at some point, do we just kind of go, enough's enough. Let's get some serious people in there in order to fix a lot of the problems that we've got. Also next hour, Missouri State House of Representatives. You can call this the Sam Page bill, because they are looking to pass a law that would restrict what local health orders are allowed to do and for how long. And make no mistake, this is targeting Sam Page. I mean, it would also affect some other areas around the state. You know, Kansas City has announced that they are probably going to be done with all of their face mask requirements included by next month. So they're easing out of them. Boone County is not going to renew most of their requirements as well. But there are a lot of places around the state that just went completely overboard with these requirements. And Sam Page is the worst. I mean, he's without a doubt the worst in the state. Matter of fact, I was telling you during the commercial break, Katie, that some friends of mine want to take me and Rachel out for dinner tonight. And so he messaged me, goes, hey, where you want to go? There's this restaurant near you. We can come out your way this time if you want. And I said, no, let's go somewhere outside of Sam Page land. I'm in Richmond Heights. I said, I'll meet you up in St. Charles County. So we're gonna meet up in St. Charles. Just a matter of principle at this point. You know, he didn't do anything to graciously allow us to have more people in a restaurant. You know, I am now, not only do I have the vax or do I have the antibodies for COVID-19, I've got both vaccination shots, which we'll talk about a little bit later. That was a rough go when I got the second one. But if they want to, quote unquote, follow the science, zero reason whatsoever that I should be complying with any of these stupid rules. And it's not his place to do it in the first place. So you're
saying that, you know, given the choice, if a group of your friends were like, hey, let's go to St. Louis County, let's go to St. Louis City, let's grab a bite to eat down there, you're going to say, why do that?
Yeah, let's go up to St. Charles County. Or I will tell you that, and I won't say the names on the air, but there's a couple places I know that just don't give a rip what Sam Page thinks. And so there are some business I've been patronizing in St. Louis County that have basically just flipped Sam Page the bird, and I've got a lot of respect for that.
Do you think a lot of folks, now I know for a while, because St. Charles County has been operating differently.
Right.
Basically, the entire pandemic.
Yeah, they basically just said, we're going to let you be responsible for yourself.
So do you think that a lot of people are going to kind of do what you're doing and say, screw this.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to dine in St. Louis. We've been vaccinated.
Yeah.
We are fully vaccinated. The mask will wear optionally.
Yeah.
But if we can go somewhere where we don't have to wear a mask because we are vaccinated and because we feel comfortable now,
yeah,
that's what we're going to be doing.
I think so, Ryan. I mean, what are you hearing? I mean, that's what I mean, because so many places around, you know, St. Louis County, I mean, you're minutes away from St. Charles County or somewhere else.
What are the rules in St. Charles County, or not in, in the St. Louis County right now for restaurants?
You're supposed to wear a mask until you get to your table and anytime you get up from your table. But now they're saying, well, now you can have, I think it's full capacity that you can have now, because for the longest time, you could only have half. And before that, you could only have a quarter. So basically, you can assume all your operating costs, but you're only allowed to do business with a certain number of the people who want to actually buy from you. So it's still the mask mandate. And the tables are supposed to be X number of feet apart still, which means that you can't have full capacity if you've got to spread the tables out more.
See, I kind of think the opposite, that we should be going to those restaurants that have been persecuted the worst throughout this whole thing. I mean, that's the whole state of Illinois for me.
Well, so it's, yeah, no, totally.
It's not like I'm having to choose between where I go. Yeah. Everywhere I go has been under the same edicts. But, you know, you have the choice between going to somewhere that's been open the whole time versus a bunch of restaurants that have kind of had to manage through this. And, you know, if they voted for Sam Page, that's one thing,
right?
Because they're voting for their own obsolescence. But if they didn't and they're having to sort of manage under his thumb, I would think we'd almost want to support them more.
I can tell you the ones that have spoken out and pushed back against Sam Page, I have made it a point to go buy something from them. The ones that were vocal about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the weird thing is about this whole thing, because Illinois included in this, is that no matter what, if you decided to push back, but you did it quietly, nobody ever came after you.
Right.
Nowhere.
Yeah.
Whether it was the county, whether it was Illinois, anywhere that had these rules. If you just did your thing and catered to your customers and didn't advertise it and didn't make it a big stink, like, well, we're going to show you.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever came after those people. It was the ones that did make it a big deal. And so I really respect those people, because they have put their livelihood on the line against the government.
Yeah.
I mean, 1984, hello.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. I mean, there was a restaurant that I know, and they stayed open when Sam Page ordered them closed. I mean, when he said you could only do carry out and pick up, they kept the dining room open. Now, they just moved people to the back where you weren't obviously visible. They were mm-hmm. careful. It was a lot of regulars. But they told me, I asked the owner about it. I said, I respect the heck out of this. And he said, well, he said, even with these coming government programs, we're going to go out of business. And under his orders, this will run us out of business. He said, so I've got a choice. I can at least try to stay in business, staying under the radar, or I can obey what he says and go out of business either way. If they come and shut us down, well, okay, I was going out of business anyway. And they did survive in large part because they disobeyed Sam Page's order. And I've got a lot of respect for that. That's in the county. I made it a point to buy from there quite a bit. So I have bought from some in the county, but I'm also wanting to reward the areas that did the right thing and let people live their lives and be responsible for themselves and make their choices.
It's very sad. These are usually not rebel people that right. are having to make these decisions. These are just, you know, dollars and cents, ones and zeros, just trying to make it work, and they're having to fight their own government to do so.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Joining me right now, we've got Larry Klayman. He's a legal analyst and the chairman of Freedom Watch. And Larry, appreciate you being on the program here. It may surprise people to find out in a case as high profile as the Derek Chauvin convictions that a T-shirt and a hat may be something really crucial to the appeals process. Can you make sense of all that?
What is? There should be, and there was a motion for retrial that was filed. In other words, declare it a mistrial and retry it. In addition to what went on with regard to the prejudicial publicity of Maxine Waters and the President of the United States, the so-called President Joe Biden, and others, but don't count on it happening. The legal system has become so corrupt. And these people fear for their lives. The judges fear for their lives in terms of what goes on in Minnesota and throughout this country with the great racial divide that's been created by the left. That I know from experience, and that's why I wrote my book, It Takes a Revolution, Forget the Scandal Industry, that the legal profession has become very, very corrupt. And I don't suspect that Derek Chauvin is going to get justice with a new trial.
And what I was bringing up is that there was a picture of one of the jurors who went to a rally that Al Sharpton put together back in August, I believe it was, before he was called to be on the jury. And he actually wore a T-shirt that had the saying, "Get your knee off our necks, Black Lives Matter." But in the questionnaire, he said, "No, I can be objective. I've heard stuff about this on the news, but I don't know the case intimately." And so now you've got a defense who says, wait a minute. What do you mean you could be objective? You went to a rally and marched at a rally that was organized. And matter of fact, some members of George Floyd's family, as I understand it, spoke at the rally. So could that be some kind of prosecutorial, not really prosecutorial, but maybe some sort of mistrial because the jury pool was tainted because somebody who participated in activism related to this case got on the jury?
100%. It's a new trial. You know, this was, in effect, a homicide trial. It was a murder trial. Mm-hmm. And it's unlike in some states, you don't need a unanimous jury to get a verdict in a civil case. But this is a criminal case, so you need all the jurors to agree. And when you have one juror that's been disqualified because of the bias, that knocks out the ruling. But that's not going to happen here. It's not going to happen because of the politics, because of the dynamics, because of the fact that these judges, and I wrote about it. I know I'm pushing my book, but I want people to read it because I've been a lawyer for 44 years, you know, trial lawyer, is that system and the judges have become so politicized that in cases like this, there is no justice anymore. And so I want to be a realist about it, but it's an outrage. And it's why we do need to wage a peaceful and legal revolution. And it's why I wrote about that, taking our legal system back with citizens' grand juries and holding these people accountable, because this is the kind of injustice that goes on a routine basis. I've lived it, and I wrote about it in my book, It Takes a Revolution.
Larry Klayman, legal analyst and current chairman at Freedom Watch. When you talk about citizens' grand juries, I mean, is this stuff that is in the Constitution that we just haven't ever used, so nobody knows about it? Or are you talking about, you know, changing things from the ground up in ways that we've never seen before?
It is in our Constitution, you know, not explicitly. But in 1992, the late Justice Scalia, writing the majority opinion for the Supreme Court, in a case styled United States versus Williams, you can Google it, ruled on behalf of all the justices that the grand jury does not belong to the three branches of government. It belongs to the American people. Now, in the Old West in particular, before there was a Justice Department, which came into effect on July 1st, 1870, the American people would mete out justice themselves. Wyatt Earp is a good example of that, a U.S. Marshal. He did it, of course, you know, in terms of law enforcement at the ground level. But we have the right to do this. And in fact, some states actually provide for citizens' grand juries. It's just that they're overseen by a judge or a court. But there's no requirement that that be the case. And we're conducting citizens' grand juries today. You can go to freedomwatchusa.org and see it. We put them up after we hold them. This morning we had one. We've indicted Robert Mueller. We've indicted Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, his brother Frank, for a massive racketeering bribery scheme from Ukraine, Russia, and China. And we have that right. And we have the right to try them. We have the right to seek their convictions. We even have the right for citizens' arrests. Even I'm not advocating to do anything forceful, you know, or violent. But even in California, the most leftist of all states, there's a statute which says that if you know of someone committing a felony that or observe it, you have the right as a citizen to arrest them and to turn them over to law enforcement. So after we convict these people, we're going to petition law enforcement to enforce it. And I suspect there are sheriffs and others in the country that will do it. People have reached a level where they've lost complete faith in government. That's what you saw on January 6th. It was not just a bunch of criminals. There were a few on either side. But most of those people that went to that Capitol, it was the final straw for them when the President Trump at the time could not even get a hearing on election irregularities, piled on the fact that no one in Washington, D.C. has been held accountable at a high level for any alleged crime or scandal in my lifetime. And I'm going to be 70 in July. I hope I look younger than that. But the American people are at the end. And Jefferson predicted it. I wrote about it in my book. He said, because the federal judiciary in particular, and the state judiciary is not much different, is unelected, unaccountable to the people, that every 20 years or so, the blood of patriots and tyrants would be shed again, adding, what's a few thousand dead to preserve the tree of liberty? He didn't want to see anybody dead. He didn't want to see anybody hurt. Neither do I. Don't advocate that. But he said this will be the inevitable result if we don't have a justice system that stands in the stead for the American people. And he saw it coming. With federal judges, he said it's not going to happen because they're unelected, unaccountable to the people. They will pursue their own interests rather than the interests of the people, because they cannot be held accountable. And that's the kind of thing that needs to be. We have a Third Continental Congress that I'm holding, and you're invited on July 5th and 6th in Philadelphia, across from Independence Hall at the Visitor Center, the birthplace of liberty. And we're going to start the discussion, not just on creating a new government, but putting things in the Constitution that will clean up the mess that we're in now. I mean, federal judges should not be appointed. And that happens with political campaign contributions and sometimes out-and-out bribes. They are not the best and the brightest. We need a system to elect them rather than appoint them. And we need to have an electoral system for our representatives that isn't based on fraud and election irregularities like we saw in 2020. These are the kinds of things that we can do. And also insert into the Constitution a cause of action or the ability to bring a case for discrimination, not just on race, religion, ethnicity, but also a national origin, but also on the basis of discrimination on the basis of ideological belief, which is what we're seeing today with big tech and the media.
All right. Larry Klayman from Freedom Watch. The book is called It Takes a Revolution. Forget the scandal forget the scandal industry. Larry, appreciate the perspective. I'm sure it raised a lot of eyebrows, which is, I guess, what talk radio is supposed to do. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank God for talk radio.
All right. Thanks,
brother. Appreciate it. Thanks for letting me say my piece.
You got it. That's Larry Klayman. Boy, I've got some thoughts about that we'll get to just ahead. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Annie Fry here on 97.1 FM Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Okay, so given the interview we just had, I haven't talked to Larry Klayman in years. It's probably been 10 years since I've interviewed Larry. By the way, it's 12:50. I'm Mike Ferguson. Can I just say that if you want to have your friends over for coffee and decide to have a citizen grand jury and indict somebody, can I just point out that has no legal standing whatsoever, and the cops are not going to run out and arrest the person that you just indicted in your living room? Especially if you've indicted the president of the United States. Can I just point that? I'm not a lawyer, but I'm just saying they're not going to do that. And if you want to put it to the test, invite your buddies over, go ahead and indict somebody, and then call the police and instruct them to go arrest them and see what happens.
Yeah, that was my question too. That's why I was asking about the Constitution. You know, he's not a nobody. I mean,
no.
He's the chairman of Freedom Watch. That's a legit organization. So, doing something like that versus me and you sitting in our living room doing it probably is a little bit different too.
Right.
But it doesn't still seem to have any teeth behind it unless you can enforce it. And that's the question: can you enforce it? And
no.
How?
And I also want to point out that when he was talking about we used to do it like this in the Wild West. Well, the Wild West is one of the reasons we set up the laws that we did, so we don't have justice meted out the way that it was done before, because there wasn't a process that we have today, because we do have this thing called due process that we need to have and to make sure we do that. And I mean, you want to have a Continental Congress, call it a Continental Congress on July 5th. That's great. Everybody needs a hobby. I'm glad you're doing something with your time that's educational, but you're not abolishing the government and setting up a new one with that, guys. Mm-mm.
The problem is we've gotten to a point where extreme solutions things might have to get pretty crazy for things to get right, you know? And I'm not saying that what he just said is going to happen or
no.
Even should happen, but you know, when things start to break down, and he's talking about the whole legal system
right.
Breaking down, I'm hoping that we're not there, and therefore solutions like this are not necessary yet, that we can salvage, you know, that there's not so much corruption in our judicial branches, especially.
Oh, I don't. I don't argue that there isn't. I agree that there's corruption in our judicial branch.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I just hope there's not so much that it's like, okay, that whole system is so tainted that you have to just scrap it. Because when you get to that point, I mean, you're talking about almost martial law,
right?
Which is in a way what he's talking about, just sort of in a civil manner.
Yeah, which is the opposite of law and order mm-hmm. that we want. I mean, you know, for those who are Trump supporters, isn't that one of the things that mm-hmm. you say was his shining achievement, is the appointing of constitutional originalist judges up and down the federal judiciary system? I mean, that's how you enact change the right way. I got to tell you, like, you know, Freedom Watch, that was a go-to source for many years. I'm stunned with what I just heard on that. I just wanted to make that clear so that nobody thinks Mike Ferguson is endorsing calling citizen grand juries and indicting people and having trials to convict people. And when he nonchalantly said, that's right, we've just indicted the president of the United States. No, you didn't. You got together with some of your friends and took a vote over coffee or beers or whatever it is mm-hmm. that they're doing.
I think it's interesting. It's food for thought, because, you know, I mean, one of the things, like, because when you have a conversation like that, some of the things you might go, well, that'll never happen, or
right.
I completely disagree with it, or whatever it is. But then he did suggest that one of the ways to fix it, even within the system, I don't even know if this was his point, was to elect judges rather than have them appointed, so that you're avoiding the corruption and bribery that could be involved in that. Well, that's an interesting idea.
Sure.
I mean, that does happen in some parts of the country. I mean, I think in Illinois, we elect our whatever circuit. I don't know. Like
Missouri,
too.
Yeah, we elect. There are many judges that we elect in Missouri as well.
Yeah. And so he made a good argument for that being the right way to do it. And I don't know whether that's right or not, but that was a good argument. And it was interesting to think about.
And it is an interesting debate. There's an argument for electing judges. There's an argument against electing judges. You know, in Missouri, you elect, in many cases, you elect a judge and then you vote to either retain them or not retain them. And the idea is to keep that as far out of politics and campaigns as you possibly can. Matter of fact, on American Viewpoints this weekend, I've got some of the folks from Landmark Legal Foundation, and we're going to talk to them later this show today about some of the legal processes these that we have. But one of them is how political the judiciary has become, and the argument on how to best address that is a fair debate. On that point, I agree with you, Ryan. He did have a couple good points. It just kind of got buried we're going to organize our own Continental Convention after we're done meeting with some friends to indict people that we think are corrupt, not through a legal process. We're going to invent our own. That is basically saying that we're going to have our own version of anarchy with what we say is going to be law and order because what we say it is.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I asked him, you know, is there constitutional merit to what you're saying?
Yeah.
And he backed it up. I mean, he backed up some of the things he was saying, not all of them, but you know, that's why you ask the question. That's why you listen to the answer.
Yeah, no, precisely. Yeah. I mean, I'm all about getting, and I'm never afraid to have people on here, you know, who say things that disagree with me. But I did note the first thing he said is, well, it's not explicitly in the Constitution.
Yeah.
So it's either in there or it's not in there. And, you know, the Constitution limits government. It's not there to limit us for the most part. But, oh, okay. All right. Our good friend Tyrus. Oh, man. From Fox Nation. He's joining us just ahead. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Annie Fry. This is 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.